Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Keith Crosby Out of My Mind podcast. This is Keith Crosby. Welcome to today's podcast. We're glad you joined us. Today, we are going to discuss death. That's right, death. Not a pleasant topic for many. And yet, in some small way, and yet in some unrelated way, this is connected to my previous podcast. Not that I'm about to die. We're all dying, of course. But that this subject came up in connection with illness and suffering. Now, I'm assuming you heard the last podcast. If you haven't, please go back and give it a listen. It will provide some context for today's podcast. And so, not to be morbid, but today we are going to explore death. I want to read you something I read, a very brief article on death that I found interesting. It says that death is the permanent cessation of all biological functions that sustain a living organism. The body ceases to function, and vital processes such as respiration, circulation, and brain activity cease. Death, which can be sudden or unexpected, peaceful or with suffering, can result from various causes, including illness, injury, aging, or a combination of factors. The article goes on. Death is a fundamental aspect of the human experience, and various cultures and societies have developed rituals, traditions, and belief to cope with its inevitability and honor the deceased. Death is a natural and inevitable part of the life cycle of all living beings. That includes human beings. The article goes on. Some see it as the conscious end of existence. Others believe in an afterlife of some kind. One's cultural or religious beliefs influence how one perceives and understands death. Well, I would agree with most of what I just read. Based on my life experience, education, and training, this article, this brief article, is mostly correct. I would add that death is a great equalizer. Death does not discriminate. All people face death. It is inevitable, inescapable. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this comes judgment. Death is colorblind. Death does not respect sex. It comes to both males and females. Death doesn't care how rich or poor you are, how good looking. Death is the great equalizer. As a former businessman, as a pastor, and as a student, I've seen men and women die. I've seen stillborn children too. Death is not, shall we say, merciful. It is relentless, inevitable, a fact of life in this fallen, broken world in which we live. I want to go back to the article I just read. There was one particular statement with which I disagree, and that is, death is a natural and inevitable part of the life cycle of all living things, and that includes human beings. I disagree with the first part. Death is unnatural, particularly for human beings, men, women, and children. I'm not sure it's inevitable for all people. Most people, maybe. But I'd like to add that death is a portal to life. The reality is that death is a beginning, a commencement ceremony almost, not unlike graduation, as you pass from one life stage to the other. In some sense, the process, like birth, includes pain at some level. Pain is not natural either, particularly pain at birth and pain at death, because death is not natural. Where does death come from? In the book of Romans, we read in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Death, it seems, is a consequence. It spread to all because all made the same type of choice, all sinned. And I'd be lying if I said I hadn't been thinking about death these last years of my illness. As I said in my previous podcast, my disease isn't fatal in and of itself necessarily. It can be for some, and in my case, while I'm in the top 5% of worst cases for my disease will not prove fatal in and of itself. So relax as you listen to this podcast. I'm not going anywhere fast. But as I said, I'd be lying to you if I said I'd not been pondering death. My life is more than half over, even if I were healthy. And CIDP, my disease, if you have read anything about it, can shave, statistically speaking, about 20 years off of the average life, whatever the average life is. But I'm saying all this to say this: death is not natural. Disease is not natural. Suffering is not natural. And we come back to Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all because all sinned. Death is a consequence. Death spread to all because all sinned. Humanity introduced death into the fabric of the universe, which explains in part why things are the way things are. Humanity chose death. Humanity still chooses death. I know that sounds counterintuitive because we seem to cling to life. But if you read in the book of Genesis, also known as the book of beginnings, you read this statement, God speaking to mankind, speaking to Adam. You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, surely you shall die. Mankind, humanity, chose death. They, as it says in Genesis 3, saw the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, it was attractive, and the tree was desired to make one wise. They took of its fruit and ate, and their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened to the gravity of their situation. Both Adam and Eve, man and woman, knew that taking the fruit, stealing it, would have fatal consequences. It was not theirs to take, and they knew it. And in Genesis 3, we read that the serpent queried the woman about their rights or ability to access to the fruit of the garden. And the response the serpent received was, though somewhat overstated, an awareness of the cost associated with taking the fruit. We read this. He said to the woman, that's the serpent, Satan, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now again, she overstated the case. She misrepresented the touching it aspect. They would only die if they ate the fruit. Hence, I assert that death is not natural to the human experience. It is unnatural. Humanity decided to play God and claim right to what was his and his alone, and they suffered the consequence for it. And we still do to this day as we play God and we die. We cause each other harm, but that is beyond the scope of our discussion. I won't get into all the things that humans do today. Essentially, understand this, humanity violated the naturally created order and introduced unnatural death. Humanity replicates the process at some level today daily, and people die. Death through sin entered the world and so spread to all men, to all people, because all sinned. In some sense, each of us today personally replicate the creation of the death gene. Gene is a word picture here. The point is, we are bent toward playing God, seeking autonomy from him daily. Religious people call this sin, which is an unpopular term if there ever was one. But the reality of sin posits that we are accountable for our actions and choices, and that our choices have consequences. That's why we read in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin has consequences, compensation. The wages of sin, the consequences of sin, the compensation for sin, for playing God, is death. Through sinful actions, death was introduced into the life equation. So people died and people die today. It's like a pathogen has been introduced to humanity and indeed through humanity to the fabric of the universe. And so things suffer and die. They call this the fall in the Garden of Eden. Man fell from God's favor, from God's grace. Because of the fall of man, every part of God's creation was subjected to some sort of curse. And under that curse, all creation groans, waiting for the day to be restored. It's like labor pains. And so this is a picture of death and dying and what we've done to ourselves and the universe. And so this unnatural process was introduced into a perfect world. And so people die. So the question I ask you today is, how do we prepare for death? Death now is inevitable. Unnatural as it is inevitable. You may say, look, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. I'm not spiritual. I would say, look around you. God is, and you are going to die. You may not believe the first is true, but you can't deny the latter. There is a God, and he has spoken through his word, and today I'm going to share some of what he has said to you. Now, because of your unbelief, you might say, nothing changes. People die. You can deny that death exists, it doesn't change anything. You can deny that God exists, it doesn't change anything. But what I'm really talking to you about is, have you thought about death? Are you preparing for death? The average human lifespan is about 4,000 weeks. I'm nearly 65. I was born August 12, 1959. I've lived about 3,400 weeks. Yikes. I've got about 600 weeks to go. If you're about 20, you've got about 3,000 weeks to go. If you're 40, you're roughly halfway home to death, so to speak. Some of us are closer than others. The clock is always ticking. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for the next chapter of your life? People prepare for retirement. Well, at least some people do. Some people prepare for death. Many prepare for neither, and that is a tragedy in and of itself. Are you preparing for the next chapter of your life? Because life does not end with physical death. As I said earlier, death is a portal to the next life. While the transition may be tough, it is inevitable. But regardless of your professed beliefs about life and eternity, if you're honest, really honest, you understand that there is life after death. And one thing all religions seem to have in common is that the next life is longer than the earthly life we leave behind. So let me simplify things for you for a moment or two, and perhaps encourage you or at least challenge your thinking. While, as I said, most religions seem to point to a lengthy afterlife, they don't much agree on anything else. Let me break this down for you. You may have heard me say this before. There are two religions in the world. All religions fall into one of two categories. There is the religion of human achievement, where you do something to placate the gods or gods that you worship. Maybe they send you on a quest, like in Greek mythology. Maybe you have to perform endless or nearly endless acts of penance. Maybe you offer sacrifices periodically to appease them. Maybe you're sentenced to ascend up millions of levels of some evolutionary reincarnational process. Maybe you go and burn money at a temple to your ancestors to curry favor with them or others. This is human achievement. The problem is that none of these religions can tell you how much is enough. They're just filled with uncertainty. There is the religion of divine achievement, however, and it's not about what you do for God. It's about what God has done for you. We read about this in Romans 5, 6 through 8. While we are still weak, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While some may be hesitant to die for a righteous man, some will die for a good man. But God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you get that? Regardless of who you were or what you were doing, God has done something for you. And he has presented you with this opportunity, this gift, despite your conduct. We read about this again later in Romans chapter 6. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So your eternal life either depends on what you can do for God or what God has done for you. Which seems more plausible? Do you really think you can atone for everything you've done wrong? You can't even remember it all. And human achievement is popular, don't get me wrong. It has many denominations: Islam, Hinduism, Shintoism, Buddhism, the indigenous religions, like the Aztecs sacrificing the children of the neighboring tribes to grow their corn. But in the end, it all comes down to works. You have two religions: the religion of works, where you try to earn something, you try to repay some debt, the extent of which you have no idea, or God steps in and does for you what you cannot and will not do for yourself. Which seems more likely? That you buy your forgiveness or that you receive it as a gift? Think about it, because the clock is ticking and it is appointed for all to die and then face judgment. Divine achievement assures that you face judgment forgiven, and the others? Uncertain. They simply can't tell you how much is enough. So today, let me encourage you to be thinking about your death. Time waits for no one. The clock is ticking, and we all will die and cross over into the next life. The question is, will we cross over forgiven or condemned? Please think about it. If you've been going through the motions of religion, you can't afford to continue to do that. If you're trying to earn your way to heaven, you can't do that. So maybe it's time to humble yourself and to receive this gift of eternal life through the religion of divine achievement, Christianity, based on what Christ has done for you at the cross and what he has guaranteed for you at his resurrection. So think about these things. They're worth pondering. You can't afford not to. Well, that's enough for today. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll listen again. I hope you'll share this podcast with friends. If you have questions about anything I've said, email me at keithcrosby@yahoo.com. Until next time, may God bless you and God keep you.